Hey, you want that to go?
Some takeouts now on the stories we're following this week. 6 medals yesterday for the United States at the Winter Olympics, including 3 gold. This is what the takeaway control room this morning is calling best Olympics day ever. Here are some highlights. Lindsey Vonn shook off a shin injury. She won the gold medal in the women's downhill. The United States also took the silver in that. The snowboarding halfpipe went to American Sean White. And sports writer Dan Friedel joining us from Vancouver. How about Shani Davis in the 1,000 speed skate?
Yeah, that was quite a performance. Shani Davis hasn't lost at that distance this year, so he was the odds-on favorite, and he came through. He was one of the last skaters to go in the competition, and it's the kind of competition where you get one shot. You know, there's no second chance, and he pulled it off. He had a great skate and added to the record haul for the day and a gold medal. And His teammate Chad Hedrick was up there on the leaderboard as well, and he got the bronze.
And we should also add that in the women's downhill, it wasn't just Lindsey Vonn who took the women's downhill. Julia Mancuso with the silver. So some big medal performances for the United States. And everyone now is looking forward to men's figure skating tonight. What are we looking out for?
Well, I mean, we'll be looking at the free skate, and that's the thing that's left up to the judges' interpretation. The skaters have a chance to show their artistry in a way that's not quite as evident in the short program. The free skate allows them to show off their interpretive ability a little bit more, and also their athleticism. You have to remember that they're out there on the ice skating for 3 or 4 minutes and doing these jumps, and they've got to land perfectly, and it's an athletic competition for sure. The favorite looks like it's going to be Russian Evgeny Plushenko.
Right.
And the hometown favorite, Patrick Chan, is going to have to put in a great skate for Canada to get himself into medal contention. And the American certainly can look out for Evan Lysacek, the defending world champion, and Johnny Weir for good performances. So it should be exciting. It'll definitely be something to watch.
Johnny Weir, always controversial. Looking forward to the skating tonight. Freelance sports writer Dan Friedel joining us from Vancouver. Thank you.
Another takeout from our rough economic times today. The New York Times reports a growing number of companies have been passing regular employees off as independent contractors, and federal and state officials say no more. Louise Story is a finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times. Louise, why are state and federal officials worried about whether or not an employee is a private contractor or full-time employee?
We're talking about some big numbers here, Celeste. The Labor Department estimates that about 30% of all companies are passing people off as independent contractors when they're really just the same as regular workers. The reason companies would do this is, if it's a contractor, you don't have to pay Social Security, Medicare, unemployment taxes, and you also leave income taxes up to the worker, and not all workers are going to report their income.
So The state is obviously losing out on tax income, but are the companies saving money by claiming that they're private contractors?
Yes, because they're not paying the Medicare and the Social Security taxes. President Obama put this in his 2010 budget, and he estimates that by cracking down on this practice, that will pull in $7 billion over 10 years. So we're talking billion. That's right. So we're talking about big numbers that the government can really use at this time. And the other thing to keep in mind is, a lot of workers may be afraid to say something to their companies about this. When they're considered contractors, they lose their basic rights, such as anti-discrimination rights, rights to overtime payment, minimum wage. So this is also about treating workers fairly.
Right, that's right. Louise Story is a finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times.
Now, yesterday, Louise joined us, and she was looking at our soaring federal deficit and why it's gotten so high. President Obama wanted to set up a bipartisan fiscal commission, Republicans and Democrats, from members of Congress, to try to rein in the federal deficit. He was blocked by that effort from Congress, and here's what the president had to say after he was blocked.
I've proposed a bipartisan fiscal commission to provide recommendations for long-term deficit reduction. Because in the end, solving our fiscal challenge, so many years in the making, will take both parties coming together, putting politics aside.
and that didn't happen. So the president said he's going to sign an executive order and set up his own commission, and that commission is getting ready to get going. Joining us is Walter Alarcon. He's my colleague on The Hill and staff writer for The Hill newspaper. Good morning, Walter.
Morning, Todd.
So, Walter, the president said he'll set up his own debt commission if Congress won't help him, but Republicans so far have not been too interested in joining. Is this going to be a bipartisan effort?
Well, the president, at the very least, is going to get Republicans who are out of office. The co-chairman of this commission is going to be Alan Simpson, the former senator from Wyoming who was Bob Dole's deputy in the mid-90s. And then he's going to be working with Erskine Bowles, who is Bill Clinton's chief of staff, around the same time. Now, that sort of says something, the fact that the president has to go back toward the 90s, the early 90s, a different political time to try to find people to work together on this deficit commission. Sort of speaks to the difficulties here. We don't see a lot of Republicans right now in Congress want to come to the table. They're saying that this is just a stalking horse for tax increases. Democratic leaders are a little bit more open to it in Congress, but on the left side of the party, the unions, and also the AARP, the lobbying group for seniors, they're a bit concerned that this is just going to lead to perhaps entitlement cuts, spending decreases, stuff that the Democrats right now conceivably might be able to get done if they could corral all these votes that they have right
but
now,
all of
these large majorities.
All those things are politically difficult, but things that have to be done to rein in the deficit. Walter Alarcon, what does it say about Washington right now that to make any of the tough choices, no one of import who makes a decision is willing to come to the table?
Well, you know, it really speaks to how difficult it is to get done. We see these midterms coming up. The Republicans don't want to give the president any advantage. And this, you know, here the president is reaching his hand out, and Republicans are going to have to make a decision. Do they want to join up here?
Well, they might sense it. They might sense a trap as well. Walter Alarcon, staff writer for The Hill newspaper, joining us to talk about the president's bipartisan debt commission. Thanks for joining us.
A trap?
A trap?